morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. I'd like to welcome each and all of you to today's worship service and pray God's blessing upon us as we worship in true and in the Spirit. It's always a joy when believers get together, especially believers here at First United Methodist Church, we sing. It's always the joy of my heart. Pray that we can celebrate each morning together and worship the Lord and give the God praises that God desires of us. Let me encourage us to, if you have your yellow, gold, yellow sheet, half sheet, please continue to fill out those, and they are kind of helpful to us. But just to make sure that we are all in touch with each other is part of the reason why we encourage you to keep filling out those forms. While we do that, let me invite us to take a look at the announcements on both screens, side of the wall, and as well as inserts in your bulletins. I'd like to lift call your attention to something special. And I know I already appear special in this pulpit this morning with t-shirt on instead of a coat. And this is, I don't mean to disrespect, probably the tradition, and I'm saying tradition because I know a First Church, they always have some kind of tradition. And I can tell you just a very quick story about that. When I was a senior at a theological school that I started my study at, there was a First Church, of course, about this old. This church is located in Monrovia, the capital of Liberia, and we were seminary students at the time. And the rule of that church is you were supposed to always wear coats in order to enter the chancel. Well, we decided to break the rule. So, so we saw our very nice African gowns. We were having our student government installation, and we selected First Church. And First Church, we got there, and the pastor saw all of us in our African wears, and he said, "Why are you guys doing this?" We said, "What?" He said, "You're not supposed to come here like this." "Like how?" "Well, if you're going to enter the pulpit, you have to wear a coat." I said, "Well, we don't have money for coats, so this is what we have money for, and that's why we wore." It was a huge issue. The bishop had to intervene. So if I'm breaking the rules here, please forgive me. But I'm doing this on purpose. The purpose I'm doing this is to call your attention to one of the ways that we can be in mission together in the community. The implementation team for our simple church model here has decided to reach out with 150 t-shirts with this. I'm going to come down so you can see what it looks like. Just see right here, we have the website, we have a mission of the church, that we can get 150 of this t-shirt into the community. Whether people wear it or not, that's not the point. The point is we've reached out to 150 people, or at least 100 people. And so what I'm doing here is Esther and I have already started. We pay for 10 of those t-shirts. We're going to be paying for 10 of those t-shirts. That we will take 3, and the 7 we will give it out to be shared. So I'm encouraging all of us to do that. You can be in mission in different ways. Sometimes you're not able to knock at someone's door, but you can hand them a piece of, paper, and you are in mission. You can give them a t-shirt, and they will always want to know where this t-shirt came from. And they will look at it and say, oh, this is First United Methodist Church. Somebody will visit them, and they will see the t-shirt, and they will say, oh, are you going to First United Methodist Church? Oh, no, they just give it to me. You have just reached out. So that's what this t-shirt is about. Let's support the effort and see what God can do with that. We want to be intentional about reaching out. We're doing different things, but probably we don't know which is going to work. That's what this is all about. So I'm going to wear my coat next week. I'm not going to wear coat today. I promise. Well, we have another person here who is in t-shirt, special t-shirt too. Is August around? Oh, there he is. All right. You want to come out and tell us about who you what happened and why you're wearing that t-shirt?
Good morning. I hope I can get through this. Yesterday was a very, very rewarding, but also very difficult day that I had. I went on the Stars and Stripes honor flight. As I found out on the way back, a lot of you knew about that I didn't know you knew. On the way back, I got you'll see pictures. There's me at the Roosevelt Memorial. There are four rooms set up for him on each year of his presidency, and as he's getting older, each statue of him is older. And there I am at the Marine Corps Memorial, the Iwo Jima Memorial, and it was so moving. And I'm just going to tell you a little bit about it, because there might be some veterans here that might still go. But when I returned home here, well, let me start with on the flight back. I got a big envelope full of envelopes, letters. I didn't even get through half of them before the plane landed. I was reading each and every one, every word. So I'm not going to name any of you who sent me a letter, gave me a letter, I can't think of the right name that fast to call her, that I got to get even. And anyhow, I got all these letters. Some of them, I read your names, and you have no idea how much I really, really, really appreciate all the kind words and everything. I love each and every one of you and this church, and that's why I do what I do. And I love you. And while I was on the way back, I started reading the letters, and a lady from Stars and Stripes was coming up and down the aisle on the plane talking to us veterans. She stopped right here. I was over by the window, and I'm reading a letter from one of you. I won't even say who. And she asked me, she leaned over and looked at me, and she says, how are you doing, August? Oh, I forgot. I had my cowboy hat on. I'm so nervous. I was going to wear my cowboy hat up here and show you. That's how I went all day. That was me all day. I lost track how many times I was asked if I was in First Calvary. I says, no, I'm a truck driver. I like to wear a cowboy hat. But on the way back, when we landed, there were 8 or 10 bagpipes playing as my escort and I, my chaperone, him and I walked off the plane. We're the only ones walking off the plane at first. And so when I went through this, I was by myself. And after the bagpipes, I walked out, made a left, and there were all the four branches of service. It was like I was going through a gauntlet, and there were men on both sides of me. And as I approached each group, they said, hand salute, and they saluted us. And I'm sitting there crying my eyes out. And as I'm reading the letter, when the lady asked me how I'm doing on the plane, she looked over. I went like this, and she goes, okay, you're all right. especially the Vietnam War Memorial and the Iwo Jima Memorial, especially. But one thing a lot of people don't know is the Air Force Memorial with three spires going up like this, and they look like contrails from jets going up, okay? That was finished in 2005. The head guy on our bus told us that if that had been finished before 9/11, the plane that hit the Pentagon came in so low, it would have hit that first and never made it to the Pentagon. And we saw where the wall was replaced. It was, and so many people, oh, did I have that? No. When I went through the line, after all those people saluting me and us coming back, went through the line, there was over 3,000 men, women, and children filled the airport that we had to walk through, thanking us, shaking our hands, and welcoming us home. And then I got partway through the, almost through the whole thing, and I saw one lady standing in the back, in, right in the front by the line, holding this. Her. But I want to thank everyone. Sorry for taking so long, but it was such a wonderful, wonderful experience. I'm really glad I did it, and thank you all very, very much for the letters. They mean so much. I got to go home today and read the rest of them, and some of them from you that I probably haven't read yet, but you are all a blessing to me, and I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Yes, greater love has no one than this, that one will lay down his or her life for a friend. Those who serve are indeed our friends. Yes, they risk their lives for our security, so they actually deserve our thank you. Yes. Please take note, after service we have friendship, what is that? Friendship lunch. Make a friend, bring a friend. So it's in the fellowship hall again, probably arranged by the same lady that had that poster. Thank you, thank you. With that, how about we turn to the person next to us and just wish them, Jesus loves you, so do I. About you join me in the call to worship. God in three persons, open our hearts to the solemn presence of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Lead us into the mystery of our worship, where your love and unity avail themselves to all who honestly seek. Leave us not to ourselves, but dwell in our hearts and guide our thoughts and actions through this time of our worship and beyond to the glory and honor of the triune God. Amen. If you are able and you feel comfortable, would you please rise for the God to worship? Prayer for believers, prayer of believers' unity. In Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith.
We who were baptized into Christ have clothed ourselves with Christ.
There is neither Jew nor Gentile.
Slave nor free.
Nor is there male or female. For we are all one in Christ Jesus. Since we belong to Christ, then we are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Please remain standing for the hymn, "In Christ There's No East, No West." You may be seated. The litany of Christian unity. Let us ask the Lord to strengthen in all Christian faith in Christ, the Savior of the world.
Listen to us, O Lord.
Let us ask the Lord to sustain and guard Christians with his gifts along the way to full unity.
Listen to us, O Lord.
Let us ask the Lord for the gift of unity and peace for the world.
Listen to us, O Lord.
Let us pray. We ask you, O Lord, for the gift of your Spirit. Enable us to penetrate the depth of the whole truth and grant that to be a share with others. Teach us to overcome division. Send us your Spirit to lead us to full unity of your Son and daughters in obedience to your will through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. Okay, we have one familiar child. This morning. That's good. So let's listen and see what you have for us.
Once, there was a boy who got into trouble at school for disobeying. When he got home from school, his dad sent him to his room without dinner. After a while, his dad went in to talk to him and asked the boy what he thought his punishment should be. The boy answered, "I should be grounded for 2 weeks." The father answered, "I agree with that. That sounds like a fitting punishment. But instead, I'd like you to come out to the kitchen and have dinner with us, and then I'm going to take you out for ice cream." The boy was puzzled, but the father smiled and said, "That, my son, is grace." See, grace is when you get a blessing you didn't earn and don't deserve. This is how God treats us. He doesn't love us less if we blow it, or love us more if we do all the right things. Grace means that God forgives us and does amazing things for us simply because he loves us. In fact, the Bible says that's how we get to heaven, not by being perfect, but by God's grace. Ephesians 2 says God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done, so none of us can boast about it. You and I are saved by grace, saved because God loves us and he gives us what we don't deserve. Because of our sin, you and I don't deserve to be in heaven with God, but he offers that to us anyway. Now, if you have questions about how to receive God's grace and God's gracious gift of salvation, make sure you watch the Foundations for Kids series.
Teacher.
Sorry?
He got punished by his teacher.
Oh, wow. All right. What he's talking about, when one does wrong, what do you do? You get punished, right? Yes, so if you're a teacher, a dad, you deserve to be punished. But does he really get punished? Instead, what did the dad say?
Him out for ice cream.
Ah, so you found out that instead of being grounded for 2 weeks, he was going to be taken out for
ice cream.
Ice cream, have dinner, and then go out for dinner with the family, for ice cream with the family. This is how God treats us. Anything wrong?
Yeah.
So even though I'm allowing you to come and have dinner and have a big bowl of ice cream, that doesn't mean you look like doing the same thing. I'm just showing you that that's how God treats us. God accepts us as his children, not because of what we have done, because God is good. God is a loving and caring parent.
Today's first scripture talks about judgment, but not in the way that we think about God judging us. It's kind of about us being judgmental to others. And this song has a very powerful message about judgment. It's crowded in worship today as she slips in, trying to fade into the faces. The girl's teasing laughter is carrying farther than they know, farther than they know. But if we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? Yes, if we are the body, why aren't his feet going? Why is his love not showing? Then there is a way. There is a way. Jesus is the way. A traveler is far away from home. He sheds his coat and quietly sinks in to the back row. But the weight of their judgmental glances tells him that his chances are better out on the road. But if we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? Yes, if we are the body, why aren't our feet going? Why is his love not showing? Then there is a way. Jesus paid much too high a price for us to pick and choose who's to come. If we are the body of Christ. But if we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? Yes, if we are the body, why aren't his feet going? Why is his love not showing them? There is a way. There is a way. There is a way. But if we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? Yes, if we are the body, why aren't his feet going? Why is his love not showing? Then there is a way. There is a way. There is a way. Jesus is the way. If we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? If we are the body, why aren't his feet going? Why is his love not showing? Then there is a way. There is a way.
Scripture comes from James 2, 1 through 8. My brothers and sisters, do you, with your acts of favoritism, really believe in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ? For if a person with gold rings and in fine clothes comes into your assembly, and if a poor person in dirty clothes also comes in, And if you take notice of the one wearing fine clothes and say, "Have a seat here, please," while to the one who is poor you say, "Stand there," or "Sit at my feet," have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers and sisters, has not God chosen the poor in the world to be rich in faith and to be heirs of the kingdom that he has promised to those who love him? This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.